Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome to Burning Hearts, normally with Rachel Herbeck, but today with Pete Burak. Very happy to be with you. It's Friday. We've been through the whole week together, and it's been a great joy. I love filling in for Rachel or Peter on Fire in the Earth when I get a chance, and I'm so grateful that Ave Maria Radio has produced this show, and we have this opportunity to dive into God's Word together and be great partners in the building of the kingdom. And I know Rachel and Peter are just so excited whenever any of you reach out and let us know how it's going, any episodes that particularly inspire you or in any ways that we've been able to walk together in the Word is just a great gift. And so if you'd like more information about what we're doing or maybe more information about what I'm doing, you can go to renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net, or you can follow us on the various social media platforms that you may be a part of. One of the things we're excited about right now is our YouTube channel continues to grow. So if you just search Renewal Ministries, you can get weekly messages from Ralph Martin, Peter Herbeck, myself, Debbie Herbeck, Rachel Herbeck, lots of Herbecks, and all sorts of other people on the team just trying to, again, build the kingdom and bless all those who are inspired to join us on that. This week, we've been talking about the parables, and the inspiration for the content this week came from the Detroit Opera House, where my mom and I and a few others, about 3,000 others, listened to Father Mike Schmitz talk about the parables. And I was so inspired by his analysis and the way the Holy Spirit spoke through him that as I've been meditating on it over these last couple weeks, I've just felt more and more drawn to reconnect with these parables. And so this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we've looked at several different parables and different angles, trying to pull out key points. And as I've reminded you each episode, that these parables are stories that Jesus told to illustrate and to confirm or shine light on a particular truth, not necessarily all the truth. As I said on Monday, the key example of this is like in the parable of the lost sheep, or better yet, Father Mike talked about the lost sheep. Another one is the parable of the lost coin. There's this woman who loses one of her coins. She lights a lamp. She scours the house. She looks everywhere for it, finally finds the coin. And then what's her response? Well, she goes out and she tells everyone in her neighborhood to come have a party with her. You know, the point of the parable is not her reaction to finding the lost coin. It's not so much like, wow, we need to, when we find something that's lost, go tell all of our friends. Our friends would be very concerned about us if that's how we acted. No, the point is that that's how the Father sees us, that if we are lost, he does everything he can to find us. And when we are found, the heaven rejoices. What does Scripture tell us about when there's a party in heaven? When a sinner converts, when somebody comes into the kingdom of God, there's a party in heaven. So the point of this is to say, we're looking at these parables to pull out truth that can be applied to us. And like everything in Scripture, it's not just applicable to those who heard it in that time. It's not just applicable to those who read it at the time that it was codified into the Scripture. No, it applies to us today. And so it's actually really important that we dive into every aspect of Scripture, but in particular, the actual teachings of Jesus, because this has been passed on to us to help us understand who we are, understand what life is all about, and understand the things that are important to God. Part of why reading Jesus' actual words is so important is because it gives us a glimpse and a consistent vision of what does God think is really important? Or another way to put that is, what is he really serious about? What is he, you could say, obsessed with helping us believe? He wants to bring people to a place of actually encountering the truth about who he is, about our condition, about our need to respond, so that faith could be born, so that hope could be established, and so that joy could be fulfilled. So let's dive into the final parable today for this week, and it comes from Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 18. It's the parable of the wicked tenants. And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and leased it to tenants, and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants that they should give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant. Him also they beat and treated shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." And they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "God forbid," but he looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The very stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but when it falls on any one of them, it will crush him." Okay, so what is Jesus revealing here? He's basically giving the story of salvation history, and it's a prophetic story. He's both looking backwards and he's revealing what's to come. He's looking backwards and saying, God the Father creates a world, the vineyard. He places people in it and people begin to rebel. The tenants, this home that we've been given, we are not good stewards of through sin. And so the owner of the vineyard, God the Father, has sent prophets to come and to challenge us, to come and to, you know, be representatives of the owner of the vineyard and to kind of receive the fruits of the vineyard that is owed to the Father, our worship, our praise, our obedience. And these prophets have come and they've been beaten and they've been rejected and they've been scorned and they've been cast out. And throughout all the Old Testament, what do we see in these prophets? Whether it's Jeremiah, whether it's Elijah, whether it's Moses, consistent stories of trying to implore the people, trying to encourage the people, trying to challenge the people to turn back to God, to be obedient, to worship him, to acknowledge him. And, you know, whether it's Jeremiah, whether it's Elijah, Moses, you go down the line, over and over and over again, the prophets are ignored, they're cast out, in some cases actually physically beaten. And so God the Father then sends the Son. And this is where Jesus shifts from past to present tense. And what does he say? He's talking about himself. The Father sends the Son to bring the tenants into harmony with the Master, to redeem the tenants, to help them learn who they really are, to help them acknowledge who really is in control. But instead, what have we done? God became man and we killed him. We put him on a cross. And Jesus is prophesying that he is the stone which the builders rejected and has now become the cornerstone. He is the one with which people will trip on and be crushed under. And this sounds incredibly intense, and it sounds so kind of antiquated. Like, who is Jesus crushing? Well, the point is this, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that nobody comes to the Father except by him. And either we walk down that path and joyfully find ourselves redeemed in the relationship with God, or we trip and fall because we end up on a different path that is not him. And Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the one that will judge the living and the dead. And part of what he's prophesying even about this vineyard is he's sharing that what is to come is the rejection of Jesus leads to physical destruction. Jerusalem, not many years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, is destroyed, laid waste by the Romans. And you just see all throughout history, when the people of God ignore God, there is a judgment that comes upon us. And so, again, he's looking backwards, he's in the present tense, and he's looking forwards. He's saying, the prophets have been ignored, I am about to be killed, and I will become the stone that becomes the cornerstone of the church that people will either find as the doorway into life, or they will be crushed by because they will ignore it, they will deny it, and they won't enter into the kingdom. And I think this is one of those parables that just reveals the seriousness of our condition. It reveals the intensity God takes towards sin, and it reveals the magnitude of our response. That are we listening to God's voice? Are we paying attention to his pleas? Are we acknowledging the various modes by which he's trying to communicate to us, whether that's in scripture, whether that's in the magisterium, whether that's through the sacraments, whether that's through people of God responding to grace and being his mouthpiece? However it is, we know that God desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that he is consistently sending advocates through the Holy Spirit to get our attention. We know that even, like, look at the mission of Mary over the last, I mean, centuries, whether it's Guadalupe or Fatima or Cabejo, what is she consistently inviting people to? Repent, believe, repent. I mean, if you look at Fatima, she reveals to these little children, she gives them a glimpse of hell, not because she's mean, but because she wants those children to understand the intensity and the seriousness and the stakes that life entails, so as to communicate that to a world that is largely ignoring God. And then Our Lady of Cabejo, what does she say over and over again? In one of her messages, she says, repent, do repent, do repent, do repent. She repeats it three times to the mystics who are seeing her in that vision. And so there's just over and over and over again, consistently, God is sending people most perfectly in his Son, but then sustained by the church in the power of the Holy Spirit, consistently sending us messages of do not ignore me, repent and believe, participate in the rules and the law and the understanding of what this vineyard entails. Give me your fruits. You are tenants. And therefore, there is something we owe to God. We owe him our worship. We owe him our obedience. We owe him our love. And it's again, this is where the parable ends kind of, or falls flat, but it's not falls flat, but this is where the parable can be extended. It's, we're not just tenants. And he's not just the master. What does Romans tell us? That those of us led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That we're not just kind of renting the land. No, we are actually partakers in the divine nature when we participate in it. And what does Paul say? That we become sons of God, therefore we become heirs, provided that we suffer with him. So here in the parable, they're trying to take on the inheritance by killing the son. And for those of us who believe, for what we understand, it's not we don't reject God in order to receive the inheritance. The way we receive our inheritance that we long for is to be crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That I die so that I might live. I crawl on the altar of sacrifice so that he might make me alive again. That I am dead to sin so that I might be alive to righteousness. That I put to death the things that are not of him in the Spirit, so that he may raise me to new heights, that I might participate in the joy and the glory that is his with the Father. This is why these parables are so compelling and so important, is they highlight, they shine a spotlight on these truths. And this particular parable is just shining a spotlight on, are we going to reject Jesus, or are we going to say yes to him? Are we going to ignore the prophets, or are we going to believe them? Are we going to kind of participate in the delusion that we can do it ourselves? Or are we going to recognize that everything I have is God's? Every gift comes from him, and I need to humble myself and proclaim his lordship and surrender to him. Friends, these parables are not outdated. They're not crusty. They're not dusty. They're not irrelevant to your life. Everything that Jesus speaks in the New Testament can transform us. So I hope this week has given you a glimpse of these particular parables in a way that we can respond in faith. And that's what I would just encourage you here at the end of the week. Respond in faith. Pray it with me. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief, that I might hear your voice and respond to it. This has been Burning Hearts with Rachel Herbeck. I'm Pete Burak. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.